Good evening, guys. I don't know if I'm off here or not, but it seems like, maybe I'm just reading too much into it, but it seems like tonight's kind of an interesting night. You guys seem to be a little bit quieter, not as loud. Thanks, Ivana. I appreciate that. But guys, tonight we're gonna learn about the disciple by the name of Matthew. And looking at this guy's life, one thing that could really, I guess, stand out for me is forgiveness. Now you might say that seems like a pretty a term that we hear often. Something that even the guys in skate ministry last night we talked about. But even tonight, guys, it seems like it might be a good night for her. I was talking to one girl, and she was saying how she was just having a bad day. Do you guys ever just have a bad day? You wake up, and you're like, I know this day is set out for disaster. I might as well just crawl back in bed and be done with it. Well, guys, maybe even tonight, some of you guys feel maybe a little overwhelmed. Maybe life is just kind of weighing on your shoulders. Maybe it's just hard. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's your friends. Maybe it's situations that you're going through. But tonight, guys, I was reading in Acts. I thought about this as we were worshiping. And it says in Acts 3, and it goes right along with what we're talking about tonight, and that of forgiveness. It says in 3:19, it says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." And guys, tonight, whatever you're going through, wherever you find yourself, know that we serve a gracious and loving God. And that right now, even tonight, we can ask for forgiveness. And it says that he takes all those burdens away, all those struggles, and he says he brings a time of refreshing in our lives. And so tonight, guys, I want you to be refreshed. We're going to find our text in the book of Matthew, chapter 9. We're going to be kind of all over the place tonight. So if you guys can't quite follow along, that's okay. I want you guys to listen, okay? I want you guys to really pay attention. I want you guys to just settle down a little bit, okay? Kind of ease into your chair and really get comfortable, okay? And I want you guys to listen to a story about Matthew. Because just like every disciple that we've looked at, it's a story of restoration. It's a story of God calling a guy that seems to be not quite the ideal sort to be a disciple, but one who is called and forgiven and then used. And you guys, that's been repetitive, Courtney. We've heard that. Do you guys agree that we need to hear stories of men that God has used? He's taken them from a situation where it's like they're hopeless, they're worthless. And he's pulled them out and he says, I want to use you. I want to put my Holy Spirit inside you. And I want to build you up. I have a purpose for you. I have a future for you. Can you ever hear too much of that? I don't think I can. I think I enjoy it quite a bit. So guys, we're going to talk about the disciple Matthew. A man haunted by his choices and decisions, burdened with guilt and conviction, longing for forgiveness and a future. That's kind of how I see Matthew. Burdened with guilt and conviction, longing for forgiveness and a future. And guys, tonight I want to take Matthew and I want to look at him as if he was being tried. Because we're talking about forgiveness, but I think as we take Matthew's life and we really look at it, is he worthy of forgiveness? And if he was put in front of a judge and all of his sins and all the things he's done wrong were brought before a council, were brought before a trial, would he be forgiven? Would he be able to be pardoned for anything that he's done? And that's kind of what I want to ask you guys. It says in Isaiah 43, it says, I, yes, this is God speaking. I alone am the one who blots out your sins for my own sake and will never think of them again. It says, let us review the situation together and you can present your case if you have one. And I want to present a case for Matthew to see who he was at a young age, where he became, what he became when he got a little bit older. And then once he met this man, Jesus, where he went from there. And the same thing for you guys. What about you? Where did you come from? Where were you maybe 5 years ago? Where are you now? And what do you see God doing in your life? Guys, when thinking about forgiveness, I was thinking about, man, there's a lot of other religions out there. In class today, we watched a video about Islam and about Muslims. And I was thinking about, how do other religions find forgiveness? And I was reading about Mormons. I just picked two of them. I was reading about Mormons. And it says, one thing for a Mormon to receive forgiveness, it says, you must never sin after you're accepted into the Mormon church. You must never sin again. And keep all of God's commandments. It says if you sin again, you haven't really repented. Therefore, you're not forgiven. And you can't ever screw up. Basically, you have to be perfect. Or else you're not quite qualified for forgiveness. Doesn't seem very hopeful, does it? Because if you're anything like me, you tend to screw up a lot. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. We don't usually say amen in this church. Amen, brother. I don't know where that came from. Okay, also, guys, we have Muslims. This is there's 5 points for a Muslim to where if they want to be saved or want to have forgiveness for their sins, these are 5 things that they have to do. Now, it's not like they do it all at once and they're done, it's finished, but it's an ongoing thing. They have to recite the Shahada. Did I say it right? Do you guys know this? I did? Oh, good. And this is what that is, the Shahada. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the prophet of Allah. They have to keep on reciting these things. That's one thing they have to do to find forgiveness. Number two, they have to pray 5 times a day. You guys have probably seen the shows where they lay out their cloth and they get down on their knees and they mumble these things, these prayers. And they do it 5 times a day. Thirdly, guys, they have to give alms. It's kind of like a tithe. They have to give a percentage of whatever they make. They have to give it away. Also, it says they have to fast during Saham, or there's this other word I can't pronounce. I think it's the same thing. For a month from sunrise to sunset. For a whole month, they have to fast from the sunrise, when the sun rises, to the sunset. They can't eat. They have to fast. And they do this because that's what brings forgiveness, atonement. That's what pays for their sins for the past year. So they have to do this for a month, and that's where they get their sins paid for. And then also, they have to make a pilgrimage. They have to make a pilgrimage to Mecca. They have to go there. They have to spend 8 days and do all these rituals and do all these crazy things. And they have to do that at least once in their lifetime. So the Mormons and the Muslims, they have to continue to do things. The Mormons, they have to keep a good report between them and God. They have to keep his commandments. And they can't ever be too sure. I mean, if you screw up once, I mean, you're kind of done for. No real promises there. And the Muslims, it's an ongoing thing. You never really know. Now, guys, back to Matthew. Matthew was a man who, if his salvation was based upon good works, what he had done, you could say, if it was being a good person, I think when we really look at Matthew's life, you would say that he lacked in many ways. That if his salvation or if his forgiveness could be based upon what he did or what he didn't do, he'd be in trouble. See, guys, we're told that Matthew was a tax collector. You may say, well, what's so bad about a tax collector? I mean, tax season's coming up. I mean, we're getting ready to pay our taxes. They take a big chunk out of your check. You got to give it to the government, and it pays for all that road construction going on that makes life just crazy. You say, what's the big deal? Well, guys, this is where it gets interesting, because I think the idea of a tax collector from back then to what we see now as someone collects taxes are two different things. And guys, this is where it brings us to our first point. When we look at Matthew, Matthew had choices and he had decisions. Matthew had choices and he had decisions. We're told in Matthew 10:3, it says that Matthew was a tax collector. Now, Matthew, at a young age, he had a decision to make. Because Matthew was a Jewish boy. I mean, he knew about God. I mean, he probably grew up with his parents telling him about the God of Israel and the promises that God had for him. And the stories that went on, the things that we read in the Old Testament, how God was faithful to his people. And God freed them from other nations and things like that. But Matthew had a decision to make. Am I personally going to follow this God for myself? Or am I going to follow my own desires, my own wants? So he had choices. He had decisions to make. And deciding to follow just the kind of the flow of his life. I mean, who knows about Matthew? He might have been the kind of the outcast kid. Maybe he didn't do so well in school. In 421, we've been praying for the students and their grades and some of the classes that they're taking. It's hard. And I myself need prayer in school too, because I know how hard it is to take tests sometimes. Maybe Matthew was the kid that didn't do so hot in school. Maybe he found himself being made fun of. Maybe he found himself that, you know what, I find it easier just to give up on what's right and I'm just going to start doing what I want. Maybe he found it easier just to go through life doing what made him happy. If he wanted something, he might just take it. If he could get away with doing things by lying, then he might just do it. And I think about you guys. I hear the things that you guys struggle with. I hear the different issues that you go through. Like people, have you guys ever been asked to do drugs? Yeah, a lot of you guys have been asked to do drugs. Maybe you guys have been asked by ladies by a guy or guys by a lady. You know, maybe it's something like making out with someone, or maybe it's even more intense like having sex with someone. And you guys remember, at a young age, you guys were innocent, you were pure, you made right decisions. You know, you were daddy's little girl, you were a mama's boy. Hey, I was a mama's boy. I didn't have a dad, so I'd be a mama's boy. But now it's like you moved on from that and you made decisions. Maybe you dabble a little bit here, you dabble a little bit there. I want to encourage you guys in this. In John verse 15 says, "Remain in me and I will remain in you." It says, "For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful apart from me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Guys, looking at Matthew's life, looking at a life that had possibilities, a guy that had potential, as all of us do, but he made choices. He found himself getting into a group where he was more like a thug. He was more like a real rough guy. I mean, I don't think he was the kind of guy that you want to come across walking down the street. I mean, probably take your money and who knows what would happen. He followed a rough group with a rough group of people. Guys, I want to encourage you guys to remain with God, to abide in the Lord. Life is hard. You go through struggles, but remain and abide in the Lord. Because we're going to learn about a God who forgives. We're going to learn about a God who follows through with promises. And we're going to learn about a God who has a future for you. But you guys need to remain. You need to stay close to the Lord, because life is hard. You're going to be tempted. You're going to be put in situations where you have choices to make. And what are you going to do? Guys, it's been said, if you sow a thought, you reap an act. You sow an act, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap character. You sow a character, you reap a destiny. From the very thoughts that you think to the actions that are played out because of those thoughts is going to make you who you are. I think for Matthew is that his thoughts were getting what he wanted, or maybe possibly money. He acted on them by stealing from people and then possibly became who he was. He was a lowlife, good for nothing. I mean, and his destiny, because of his decisions, was separation from God. You guys, let me explain to you a little bit about a tax collector and who he was. You guys, tax collectors were considered traitors in the Jewish people's eyes because they decided not to be so much a Jew anymore, but more so work for the Roman Empire. They would work for the Roman people, and then they would take from the Israelites, take money, take more than what they were supposed to take. The Jewish people were taught that it was righteous to lie and to deceive a tax collector because it says they were professional extortionists. They were professional at stealing and deceiving people and taking what wasn't theirs. They would take above and beyond what they were supposed to and make themselves richer than the poorer people. I want to read a verse to you. It says, "My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Looking at Matthew's life, you might say, well, this guy's kind of hopeless. If he was being tried right now, I mean, what would be the outcome? I mean, does he have much going for him here? Does he have any counts for him? But he has a lot against him right now. I think this verse is perfect because it says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We have an advocate. It's kind of like someone who is pleading our innocence to a judge. And he says, Jesus Christ is our advocate. Have you guys ever had to have an advocate before? Have you guys ever had to have someone plead your innocence, like you were blamed for doing something and you had to have someone plead your innocence? I remember when I got in trouble with the law when I was 17. I was on trial in a courtroom. Believe it or not, nice guy like me. I robbed some places and I took a bunch of stuff and I had some felonies and I had to go to court. The crazy thing is, I told you my story before, that it wasn't like me. It was kind of random and off the wall, and I don't know really, you know, how I got to this point. But I called in my youth pastor. You guys need to be nice to your youth pastors because someday you might need them. So I called in my youth pastor, and he was my character witness. He said, man, this Courtney, he's in my youth group. He helps out with worship, and he even has helped out in teaching a little bit. He goes to church camp, and he teaches little kids, and I hear how he proclaims the word of God in his classroom. I mean, I don't know what happened. I don't know how he got caught up in this. I don't know how he was tempted to a point to where he decided to give in. But this isn't like him. This isn't his character. I had a character witness. And Jesus says, we have an advocate in him. Jesus says, because of the blood that was placed upon your life, because me dying on the cross for you, you can boldly come to the throne of God. And when Satan comes against you and says, you're not innocent, you're not perfect, you're no good. I mean, look what he did. And he sits there and he points the finger at you guys. And Jesus says, yeah. And Jesus points the finger at himself and says, you guys have been saved because of the blood of Jesus. Second point about Matthew's life is guilt and conviction. We're told in 9:1, it says, so he got into a boat, this is Jesus, crossed over and came to his own city. His own city was where Matthew was. And I think word would spread pretty quickly once Jesus was known in this Galilean area. I mean, he was healing people, he's teaching in the synagogues, he taught with authority. People are, you know, lame people are walking, people that are blind are seeing. Miracles are happening. So for Jesus to walk into this city, I'm sure the word got around pretty quick. And I'm sure Matthew, being a tax collector, he knew everything that was going on in town. And Matthew, a man that was obviously fallen away from his beliefs and turned his back on the Lord at a young age, I'm sure he heard stories like what it says here after he got into the city. It says that, behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." Hearing words of forgiveness, I think that was ringing in Matthew's mind. I think that was saying something to his heart. The words of forgiveness, this Jesus character. The reason I say this, because later on we see when Jesus calls Matthew to be his disciple, Matthew gladly follows him right away. He's heard about this man. He's able to forgive sins. He's able to heal. He's able to take a broken life and to make it something usable. I think if he heard the words forgiveness, he would be like a prisoner hearing the words pardon. To know that you've done something wrong, but everything you've done would be pardoned, would be wiped away. It would be like you never did anything. It'd be like you're perfect. This is kind of a lengthy passage, but I want to read it to you. It's in the New Living Translation, and I think it's just really a good to read. It says, "You adulterers," or maybe even "you sinners," or maybe "you that have fallen away," or maybe "you that have turn your backs on the Lord." It says, "Do you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, that if your aim is to enjoy this world, you cannot be a friend of God. What do you think the scripture means when they say that the Holy Spirit, whom God has placed within us, jealously longs for us to be faithful? He gives us more and more strength to stand against such evil desires. As the scripture says, God sets himself against the proud, but shows favor to the humble. So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you hypocrites. Let there be tears for the wrong things you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter, and gloom instead of joy. When you bow down the Lord and admit your dependence on him, he will lift you up and give you honor." Guys, there's a place where we come to in our lives when we recognize our sin, when we recognize our guilt and our conviction. And we realize that we ourselves can't do nothing about this. We ourselves, we can't change this. I mean, what do you do when you sin? How do you fix it? What do you do when you have a life of 10, 15, 20 years, 5 years of screw-ups? How do you fix it? Are you guys able to fix it? And obviously, you guys know the answer. Jesus Christ, the only one who is able to fix it. There's a story of a tax collector and a Pharisee. And I think it kind of goes along with Matthew having guilt, Matthew having a conviction, wanting to be changed, needing forgiveness. There's a story of a tax collector. He says, "I am not a sinner like everyone else." He came to the temple to pray, especially like that tax collector over there. "For I never cheat. I don't sin. I don't commit adultery." He says about himself, "I fast twice a week. I give you a tenth of my income, God." And this is what it says about the tax collector. Seeing his guilt, seeing the conviction set in his life, seeing that he wasn't worthy, he simply stood afar off because he wasn't able to enter into this temple. He wasn't allowed to. He got on his knees and he beat his chest. And he said, "Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner." And this is what the parable, this is what the story says. "I tell you, the sinner, not the Pharisee, walked away justified and forgiven before God." Because it wasn't about this righteous or this righteous veneer that was on this man. He looked good on the outside, but inside he was wicked. And all this tax collector could do is get on his knees and beat his chest and say, "Have mercy on me. I know I'm a screw up. Have mercy on me." Paul was speaking to the Corinthians, who were known for being lukewarm, for kind of not necessarily really representing God. And he says, therefore, if any of you is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Which brings us to our third point, guys. In Matthew, we see forgiveness and a future. We see that God approaches him. And it says, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. So he rose and followed him. Forgiveness and a future. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. I mean, could you imagine the impact on Matthew's life, knowing what he's done? I mean, he was an outcast in his own town, possibly an outcast by his very friends, the people he grew up with. He had nothing going for him. And I was thinking about a verse. I wanted to really kind of understand, what's it like to have so much sin and guilt and stuff going on in your life? You guys know what it's like when you do something wrong and you know your parents know, and they're kind of, you're like, how do they know? I mean, how did they find out? And you just feel like this load on you, and you're just walking around. Literally, your shoulders get down, you kind of get hunched over, and you're just walking around because you know you screwed up, and people know, and you're like, what do I do about this? I was thinking about what Jesus says. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I think of, have you guys ever been on a trampoline? And you guys are jumping up and down. And you guys can get super high in the air. But what happens when you get off the trampoline? You try and jump. You try and jump and you feel like you're not going anywhere. It's like your feet won't leave the ground. Because you're used to soaring real high. But when you get off the trampoline, your feet won't leave the ground, it feels like. You feel like you're just like anchored down. And I feel like sin is like that sometimes. When we're sinning and everything's all fun, you know, we're on the trampoline, we're bouncing, everything's great. When we get off and guilt and conviction set in, we're trying to jump in the air and nothing's happening. We feel kind of tied down. We feel weighed down. A neat thing about Matthew, Matthew's very name was because he was from the tribe of Levi. Matthew was a man who was called to worship and to minister to the Lord and to the Lord's people. And surely, Matthew, knowing this about himself, when Jesus approached him and said, follow me, Jesus said, follow me, Matthew, I'll take you. See, others might spit on you. Others might avoid you. But me, I'm willing to work with you. He says, I'm willing to work in you, and I'm willing to work through you. Because of the decisions he's made, he was a man that was the outcast. He was the man that no one liked because of the decisions he made and the sin that he had in his life. And it says in the Gospel of Luke that he arose and left all to follow Jesus. And I think of the rich young ruler that had the option, Lord, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be your follower? And Jesus told him, you have to sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Because that was the very thing that was holding, that he was holding on to. That's the very thing that he loved. And he was upset because and sorrowful because he had a lot of riches. He had a lot of money and he wasn't willing to give it up. And then there's the scribe, the teacher of the law. And he said, teacher, wherever you go, I will go. And Jesus said this to him. Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of God has nowhere to lay his head. We don't hear anything else about this man. Was this man really willing to follow Jesus? Everywhere he went, all the way to the cross, would he be willing to die for him? And Matthew, what does he simply say? If you look on your page, you see a bunch of black words. And you see one red word where it says, Jesus said, follow me. And then it says that Matthew left all for the sake of following Jesus. I think Matthew was a man, when opportunity came his way, he went for it. He didn't look back. He didn't question. He went right for it. And I think at this point in time in Matthew's life, he knew that there was no condemnation to those who were in Christ Jesus. And we see later on in that passage that Matthew threw a party. He invited his friends. He invited all the sinners that he hung out with. He invited the prostitutes. He invited the other tax collectors. He invited the harlots, the people who have committed adultery. He invited all those that were outcasts in the city because he wanted them to meet his Savior. He wanted him to meet the one who could take off the burden, meet the one who could actually forgive me of my sins and give me a new life and change my ways. Later on it says, the Pharisees asked, why does your teacher eat with sinners? And Jesus responded this way, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. And guys, I want to ask you the same question. Is there anybody out here? In a little bit, I'm going to have Chris come up and lead us in some worship right here before we end. Guys, is there anybody here that kind of feels like maybe you're not completely sick? Maybe you know Jesus, but you kind of feel like you have a cough going on. You kind of feel like you got a headache, and you're like, and you just got some things going on in your life. Jesus came for you. Jesus came to save you. And for those of you that don't know Jesus, it says that you guys are, he says he came to save those that need him. Those that are sick, not those that are healthy, that don't need anything. I want to read this last verse to you. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So guys, Matthew, a man with choices and decisions, a man with guilt and conviction, a man needing forgiveness and wanting a different future. According to what the verses say, do you think he's worthy? Do you think God would freely forgive him? And the same thing for you guys. Would God freely forgive you? It says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, and in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. And he says about our sin, it's as far as the east is from the west. He has removed our transgressions from us. He's removed our sins from us. And guys, if you're feeling just kind of down, if you're feeling just heavy, know that your sins are forgiven and God loves you. And I think if we could walk away with what the life of Matthew means to us and how this affects us out there, guys, no matter who you are or what you've done, God is forgiving. He loves you and he has a future for you. And I want you guys to know that. And if you guys, any of you want prayer, if you guys want to come up and just say, man, life has been hard. Life has been heavy. Guys, know that time of refreshing can come. Just come and ask the Lord to refresh you. If you need to ask for forgiveness, ask for forgiveness. If you need to make a confession of Jesus in your life, come and do that. Right now, if you guys want to, why Chris is playing and leading us in worship, feel free to come up here and we would love to pray with you. Any leaders want to come up also?